Welcome to New Life Church teaching titled, The Power to Change. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
At the end of 2014, I felt the Lord spoke this to me about this church. And then it was actually a dream. And then it got bigger. The dream started off this church, and then it started off with churches, I don't know, on the earth. And I felt like what was happening was people were coming to the church. They were, you know, we keep looking for visitors to come or people. And in this dream, this was the year they're going to come. And I said, and when I woke up, I was like, this, why? I mean, I'm like, well, I don't know that I'm ready. I'm not in the mood now, Lord. I was last year and the year before last, and now you're saying you're. But then what happened was, it was, you can have dreams and you have prophetic dreams, and but you can have one that you know it's the Spirit of the Lord. Anyway, I believe and I feel like that the year they will come is this year. I know when I got born again, I went on a youth camp. I was about 13 years old, and it was a church youth camp, and me and two or three of my buddies, you know, we got on the back of the bus, you know, we were kind of cut ups and all of that. So we was on the back seat, and we were cutting up and everything. And we went to a camp in Georgia, and evidently our cutting up wasn't best behavior it should have been. But I never forget it. There was a girl a couple seats in front of us. She turned around, came back. We were sitting on the back row. This bus, it was a school bus, for some reason, it had a row all the way across the back, and we were there, and she came back, and she said, "You'll be different when you come back." And I knew I was in trouble. I knew she told me the truth. But I noticed the rest of the bus, they were happy, and they were just laughing about everything. They were singing. They were joyous. And I noticed that they had something I didn't have. Well, to fast forward, on the way back, I had what they had. I called it. I got born again on that trip. And I've never been the same. But what drew me into it, it wasn't the gospel or anything. I just knew there was a group of people that had something that I didn't have. And their joy and their energy, what was so, it just drew me in. I'm like, where did this come from? I believe that the Lord last week, well, actually it was the week before last, I was praying about this, and I believe until our church gets that energy and excitement out loud, they're not going to come. I know we have a level of worship and excitement. We're not there where the Lord's called us yet. I went to a church last night and got out of the car and walked up, and just coming around the corner, between the corner of the building, it'd be like right out here at our corner, between the corner of the building and the double doors, I got hugged, handshaked, high-fived at least 15 times with my hand up before Jesus, I'm telling you the truth, before I got in the door. They said, "We're so excited that you're here." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I've run into what I want to preach." Like, right here it is. I ran into it. Before I got through the foyer, I hadn't even got into the sanctuary. I was having church. Music was loud. They had music coming out. People were singing. Listen, I had a T-shirt in my hand of their church and what Jesus did for them before I got out of there. That was the most exciting group of people I have ever been. It reminded me of the school bus. And I heard the pastor when he spoke, he said, "We like to live our faith out loud." I thought, well, that, if this ain't out loud, there's no such thing as out loud. They were so excited. You could tell they were holding back because of the excitement. It would just, it was just draw you in. I believe, well, let me go forward here for it. Will you be ready for when people's going to come? What is holding it back? Could it, what if is we're not ready to receive them yet? Will you be ready when they come? Now, listen, I know the world's in a mess. There's famine, there's wars. You know, we've watched the, I grant you that the world is in a complete mess. I know you remember this one. You know, we got terrorism and we got Islam with terror. We're getting all of this stuff on TV of what a mess everything is. There's world hunger everywhere. Are you with me? There's the world's in a mess. You know, I mean, jobs, good jobs. The economic system is always looming to fail. We've got all of this outside pressure. I mean, well, yeah, where'd I get that one? But yeah, jobs are hard to get. I mean, talk to him about it. Jobs are hard to get. So we know that the world is in a mess, but I want to ask you this question. What has and is God doing about it? We know the world's in chaos. We know it's a mess. But the question is, okay, God, what are you doing about this mess? I watch it on TV, and I'm liking, God, won't it change? When will it change? Well, Jesus, come on back and set up your rule and reign so it can change. God, what is it that you're doing? Well, He sent His Son to deliver us. There's two things He did about the mess. This is the main one. This is the big one. What's God doing about the mess? He sent His Son to deliver us. Yes, there's a mess out there, but I've been delivered from it. And I'm happy about it. Are you happy about it? I am happy about it. I have been delivered from it. Just praise God. I have been delivered. Now, there's another thing that God's done. Are you ready? You're holding on to your seat. He's done two things. Here's the other one. He's created you. Wow. What has God done about the mess that the world's in? He sent His Son to die on the cross to save you and to save me, and He created you. That's what He's done about it. You are just as an important component as Jesus on the cross. You say, well, Alan, I'm not that important. You're pretty important if He died for you. Mm-hmm. You're pretty important if Jesus died for you. So you're an important, a very, very, very important part of this equation. What is God doing about the mess? Now, this message or this word from the Lord, I believe, is preparing as a church. That we can be a church that says, yes, you've sent Jesus to die on the cross and you've created us. And yes, God, this church wants to be all that you've created us to be to help us, and we want to encounter that mess.
That's right.
We want to encounter it wide open. Now, Jesus and you are God's plan of reconciliation of the world. That's His plan. How do you view yourself in this plan? Now, here's my important question. Please follow me here. How do you view yourself in this plan? Do you really agree with God about who you are to become? Now, we've been born again, most of you in here. Now, if you've not been born again, I'm going to give an invitation for salvation at the end of this teaching. If you've not been born again and you're not part of God's plan, before you go out this door, we want you to be part of the plan. Because as new people keep coming in, we're going to weekly put out what bringing you into the plan. We want you into the plan. But the question is this, how do you view yourself in this plan? And that pastor last night, he was saying, you know, we live our Christian life out loud. That just really struck a chord in me. Do I express Christ? Am I happy about it? Or am I happy at being... If I stay sad and depressed all the time, I ain't got it. Or if I've got it, I'm not letting it out. I want to put up Luke, I think it's chapter 11, verse 33 on the screen. If you would, put up Luke 11, I think it was 11:33. There it is. No one lights a lamp and hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. What the Lord's wanting to say to us and challenge this church, make no mistake about it, this is not a done deal. This is a challenge. That church last night, by the time I got from a corner inside the double doors, I had been challenged by 15 people I know. They were just happy. They had accepted a challenge. But there's something else I noticed. And this is your part of the challenge I'm making today. I've had people come to this church and say, well, Alan, we just don't know where to plug in. And we stood up here and said, we don't know how either, but we're going to figure it out. The Lord told us how. You're going to have opportunity to plug in. I need 15 people to stand at that corner and that door and welcome visitors to come. You can plug in right there. Talked to one guy. I said, how do y'all get the volunteers to stand out there and welcome people? He said, it's easy. It's those that's on fire for God the most. You can't stop them. And he said, usually there's the ones that just got saved. Well, that's good and it's kind of bad. So, part of this shift that you're feeling, we are opening up. You'll be seeing weekly different things to volunteer for. Right now we got two things. We got those that will be greeting new people, because this is the year they're coming, you know. And then we're going to need three or four people in the parking lots. It was a funny thing to me. As soon as when I drove in the parking lot, they had signs up that said, if you're a first-time visitor, turn your four-way flashers on. I just turned in. If you're a first-time visitor. And then they said, if you are, you're a VIP. So turned in. You know, turn your flashers on. Well, they park you right up front. Had three or four people out there. Said, VIP, bring them in, boys, bring them in. That one guy's bringing them in. He was dancing. I got a bad need right now. But he was a dancing while he's a bringing them in. I feel this thing. Brought those visitors in, parked them right up front. Give them a VIP sticker. They come in the door and those, you're a VIP, praise God. We're so glad God sent you here today. They were not hiding their light under a bushel basket. They had it on a lampstand. I run all over them candlesticks trying to get in the church house. Hadn't even got in there yet. But I'm telling you, what they had inside, they were living it out loud. Now, this is the challenge to our church. Church, until we get there, they're not going to come. God's not going to send them. You say, well, Alan, it's in me. Well, you're going to have to let it out. That's all I can tell you. That's right. We're going to have places for people to volunteer and let it out loud. Right. And we're going to have you. The Holy Spirit's going to move on this congregation. Yes, 75% of you right. Going to be volunteers, because we're going to be plugging in everywhere, because this is the year they're going to come. We'll be giving the gospel each Sunday, because this is the year they're going to come. There's going to be people getting born again every Sunday.
That's right.
That's the way it is. Why? Because they're going to come. You know why they're going to come? Because they're going to say, I don't know what you got, but I want it. They're going to see a Walmart at work. Listen, the way they come is, let me ask you this. How many of you in here will invite somebody to church next Sunday? Just raise your hand. I'm serious. How many will say, well, Alan, I don't know who to invite. Well, just raise your hand. I'll invite somebody. Okay. All right. Now, the way the thing works is you invite somebody and they want what you've got. Of course, now by the end of this message, you're going to have to maybe check your attitude at the door. Because if you got a bad attitude, they won't want what you got. But let's move on. We don't want to hide the key to revival. The key to what God's moving right now. I've already seen it. God's moving. I want to be right in the middle of it. Do you want to be in the middle of it? I want to be right in the middle of it. Now, what I'm excited about is God's given us permission not to hide our light. He's given us permission to love each other. He's given you permission to become somebody that you're not yet, but it's in there.
That's right.
It's already, you're already equipped, God of the universe.
That's right.
It's in there. Now, Jesus and you are God's plan of reconciliation to the world. I did that one. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, with all of this in mind, that I want you to watch this one. Therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ, he is a? He's a what? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, I am watching, but God is too. How many of you consider yourself as the new creation? Just raise your hands. God's watching this, you know. Okay. Now, if you are in Christ, you're considered a new creation. The old has, and the new has. All this is from who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So God did it all. We just said yes to it. That's all. Through Christ, and he, did he charge you for it? No, he gave us the ministry of
reconciliation.
So if you want to know, you can say, well, Alan, I don't know what God wants me to do. He wants you to be in the ministry of reconciliation.
That's right.
That's what it is. Now, that God was reconciling the world to himself in who? In Christ. Now, Trevor's been teaching in Genesis the fall of man. Then God says, I know Adam and Eve fell, but God had a plan of reconciliation through Christ. There again, God's plan of reconciliation to the world is Jesus Christ and you. You've got to get it in here that you, there are people that only you can reach. We're not going for the law of averages here. We're going for all of them. Jesus left 99, got one. If you lead one person to Christ in your lifetime, that's okay, because that's probably the one Jesus wanted you to go after. You got to get the you part. If you don't get the you part, somebody's going to be left out. Don't think somebody else is going to get them. Because God saved you to work with him to reconcile them. You got to get the you part. God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed, say what? Committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's the reason you'll be hearing more at the end of our services, the salvation message. Because we're going to be walking fully. That's the beginning of reconciliation. Because if they're going to come, we're going to need it. And trust me, the practice will help us. Now, I'm curious. How do you picture yourself? Now, this is important. If God sent his son Jesus and he created you to be part of this great plan of reconciliation, this is very, very important. God did that with Jesus and he created you. But how you see yourself determines how you're going to respond and react. Okay? How you see yourself. This is very, 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 I can't tell you how very important. Please stay with me. How you see yourself is very important. Why do you think Satan is constantly trying to tell you you're worthless? He does that full time. Anybody noticed? Full time, he's trying to tell you how worthless you are. The reason is, his hope is, that you don't really get it of who you are in Christ. And that you and God, I don't care if there's nobody else on the planet, you and God were working together to reconcile the world. Jesus just started off with 12. Pastor, we got more than that than Jesus had. Right now. And look what he done with 12. You got to catch the you part. Now, please hear me. How do you picture yourself? This is important. What is your self-image? Now, all of us have a self-image of who we are. Jesus, when you got born again, the Spirit of God is residing in you. We've already read the scripture where the old is fading away and there's a new creation coming in. Even though you got born again, the enemy is wanting you to hang on to the old creation. The old creation is very negative. It says you can't a lot. Can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. Well, you know what your school teacher said. You're just not college material. It's the negative, it's the old nature, it's the negative. You got to grab hold of something here. When you got born again, you got more than just being saved to hell and sent to heaven.
That's right.
Yeah, come on. You got a lot more. You got a lot more. Self-image. Are your motives selfish or self-seeking? Are you trying to maintain and protect the old you through selfishness and self-preservation instead of embracing God's new you, which is energized and full of life? And I walked into that church last night and got out of my car where I already felt like it's important. If you're a first-time visitor, turn your flashers on. You know what I'm saying? I want this. Wow, you know. I mean, who thought of that? Right? And then when you come out, you're running into these people. Here's one thing I noticed. They had real good spiritual manners. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? I've seen some people up there open the door. Men open the door. If I saw one place there, a guy stood back and opened the door. I'm like, well, you know, it's been so long since I've seen that. That looks odd. It's like everybody yielded to everybody. They had real good manners. They didn't have this old laid back, God touch me if you can. Yeah, I'm here. Aren't y'all glad? Listen, when a church is alive, when the light is not under a bushel basket, when we're living life out loud, you shouldn't be able to come in here and leave the same. I would want to run to that church just so I could feel better. I hadn't had that many hugs. I mean, probably at a funeral or something. Last time I got that many hugs, you know. They were alive. Now, have you received, now watch this one, Jesus into your heart, but you're having a hard time allowing Jesus to give you a new way of seeing yourself? Very important. A way of working with Christ to reconcile the world. Here's a point. I have experienced that a lot of Christians, I want to say even over 50% of the Christians, have yet to accept or to work with this new creation that God has made them. When you first get born again, you get so excited you can't stand it. You know, I heard one guy say, well, when somebody got born again, they were so excited, and one guy looked over the other and said, yeah, but give them a little while. They'll settle down and be like us. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. They had so many people getting born again, people were so excited, they didn't have time. It was just a level of true excitement. I mean, I'm excited being with people who love God. That's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. Are you barely moving in life, striving to be a Christian, but not feeling very energized? Now, one thing that I noticed when revival comes and revival moves, and I didn't realize it, but the last few weeks, you know, when I was saying to you about reciprocation, let's, you know, The guy's preaching, talk to him, help him do something. If you don't throw tomatoes, but help him do something. You know, it's that energy, it's that spiritual energy. It's that the light, don't let your light be under the bushel basket, even during prayer. This is worship. That's all we're doing. We're worshiping as a family, and it's the unity. It's a unity that comes together. It's wonderful to be in a service and where there's such unity and we're reciprocating and we're working together and you're not sitting there thinking, boy, I wish you'd hurry up and get done preaching so I'd go home. You know, you're feeling the life of the thing. Well, we get it from each other because the lights, when everybody takes the bushel basket off, it'll just blind you of the love and the joy. You see, we sang the song, Pastor brought it up, that we did not want to move unless God moved with us. Well, I want to bring to your attention, God's not going to move unless we move with Him. God's waiting on us to move with Him. Now, I don't know if you can notice it, but the presence of God's in this place. And in the worship, I'm like, the windows are going to blow out. But then it's like, that's as far as it'll get. I have people tell me all the time, well, Alan, if we'd have sang the song a little longer, if we'd done, we were just right there. I am 62 years old, and I have heard that phrase for 35 years. Alan, we're right there. Like if we sing the song one more time, something's going to blow. I submit to you, God's waiting on us. God's presence is there. See, you don't get 10% of God's presence. Trust me, you either get all of Him or none of Him. You get it all. God's presence is here. He is waiting for us to reflect His light. How is it reflected? Through joy, through service, through welcoming people when they come, help parking lots, helping. We got all kinds of ways that you're going to be able to volunteer and plug into so you can express getting this light from out under this bushel basket, because it's when we're all working together doing stuff in this place is where the life comes. If you don't plug in with us, you are minimizing our light and our energy of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Are you with me? Now, let me get back to this now. Are you becoming lifeless with no joy or hope? Do you have Jesus in your life, but you are still living in the old creation lifestyle, which lacks spiritual, there you are again, energy and life? We're supposed to have life and have it more abundantly. God has created you in His image. Y'all know it says that. Trevor has called it in Genesis. God has created you in His image. The real you is just waiting to live life out loud. Everybody sitting in here, there is, if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and it has quickened unto your human spirit, which God created, if that union has taken place, you are being subdued by your soul. You're much happier than you're acting. See, it leaked. I knew it, she'd leak right there. I touched it. You got to catch it. I can't say it. You got to catch it now. The truth is, Alan Smith is not giving you an example of how good inside I feel. I'm just really not sure how to express it yet. But I'm not. I'm trying to do all I can do. Does this help? I didn't think it would, but God's going to teach me. He's going to show me how to express this energy of life that's in me. Because I went to that, like I said, I went to that church last night. This I did notice. All those people that volunteered, I tell you what's truth. At one point, there was one volunteer for each person. Now, he liked that. I mean, I saw all them 15 as we were coming in, and the volunteer that comes up to you, if it's your first time, you're going, oh yeah, thank you. Just think yourself. Well, they followed us all the way in, showed where the bathrooms were, come in, helped us to get seated, and then checked on us before we left. Now, how in the world you do that with 500-600 people? I don't know, but they pulled it off. Why? Because their light was not under a bushel basket. And I'll tell you something, I had a good time, but they were having a better time than I was. Because they were living their life, their Christian life. They were living it out loud. They wanted everybody to know who they were. And I guarantee you, some of them were the quietest people on the planet. Now, you saying, Alan, are you saying I've got to be loud to be that? No, I'm not. But I am saying this. God wanted me to say it. I am talking about the new you, the energized you, who is excited about who God is and what He is doing and what He has for you in the future. I am talking about an understanding of yourself that surfaces when brought into the complete truth of the person you are to become, one living and working with God. Now, as a church of Jesus Christ, as we view ourselves and get a healthy view of who we are in Christ, you can say, well, Alan, I've got a lot of problems I've got to get worked out. I understand that. We all have. But we're going to be working for God in the meantime. Now listen, I've got a list of a lot of my problems. I'm 62 and there's not enough lifetime to get them all fixed. There you go, I'll go for that one. Point being, God wants us to be excellent. Being excellent is not being perfect. It's being excellent. We're living life with energy unto the excellence of who Christ in us is. Christ in us wants others to come into the kingdom. Christ in us loves others. And I understand how it is even to be shy. You can believe it or not, I'm a shy type person. Well, it used to be. I just said, heck with it. You know, just heck with it. I'm going to do something for God. If I look like an idiot, let's get on with it. But I found out me looking like an idiot, what I thought was an idiot, was a blessing to others. Because I'd go up to them, I could hug them, I'd say, thank you for coming. I could love them, even though I'm a very reserved person. But I've had practice over the years, so now it doesn't bother me. It's still there, to be honest with you. I mean, it's even there with me standing up. You realize how scared I am deep inside just to speak. And say, I got a word from the Lord. Do you have any idea how scary that is? But do you know what? I've got more faith in God to tell me what I need to say than I have faith in me to fail. Can somebody hear me? I have more faith in God for me to say what I need to say than I have faith in me to fail. They're both there. But I think I'm going to go with my faith in God. You say, well, Alan, I don't know if I can greet people, yes, you can. Don't have faith in you. Have faith in God. In you. You'll always feel like you're in. I'm standing up here preaching to you the Word of God, and I feel like I'm over my head to hear. I feel like I'm totally in over my head. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm in over my head. I feel like I'm trying to say something to y'all that I'm inadequate in saying it. I feel like I'm in over my head. But I have more faith in God to give me what I need to say than I do being over my head. I'll just drown, I guess, because I believe God. I really believe Him more than my failure. I'll show you a little more on that one. I wonder what God was thinking when His Spirit entered you. You know, God, when His Holy Spirit came into me, this energy, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in you, it's an energy. Has anybody been born again in the last month or two? Just anybody in here been born again the last couple of months? Okay, great. You know what I'm talking about? When you get born again, all of a sudden, it's just something. It's just an energy in here you didn't have. God was thinking something when His Spirit entered you. It's in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? Now, you want to know what God was thinking when the Spirit of Christ came in you? What God's thinking is you're now a new creation. That's what God's thinking. We just got to get our thinking up with God's thinking. That's all. God's. Are you going to have more faith in you for the old nature, or are you going to have more faith in God for you for the new nature? It's hard, but it's the truth. I'm going to have more faith in God for the new nature. I'm going to have more faith in God that I'm going to be so... I want to be able to express that I'm happier about Jesus than I'm right now expressing. I don't know how. But there's more in here than I'm letting out, I'll promise you that. I know there was one boy, he was in a cult years ago. We were in a revival spirit. Revival spirit, you're just, it's amazing. But this boy, he'd been a Satan worshiper, and he found himself coming in. He came in, I knew who he was. It wasn't about 45 minutes, he's up front, got saved. And I mean, there's a few in here who was in there with me. He jumped up from there, scared us all half to death. He jumped up from there. He grabbed a flag from somewhere. I don't know if it was an American flag. He grabbed a flag, and he took off running, and he sounded like a choo-choo train. And he run laps around. Just to holler, and it sounded like a train. And there was, I mean, he went on, he wouldn't stop. One deacon come up to me and said, "Alan, don't you think we need to set him down?" I said, "I ain't touching it with nothing. I am not touching it." We closed church down, all that, and everybody left. He was still, I don't know how long he went on. He went on. He kept going. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Next week, I seen him. I said, "What in the world? What happened?" He said, "Alan, I just couldn't get it all out." He said, "I was so free, I just couldn't get it out. I just couldn't get it out." And what the Lord's wanting us to do is just live our faith out loud a little bit. Just thank the Lord. My message is, let's just greet people and hug them. And my message is not do the choo-choo train. Right? He said, "Alan, I just couldn't get it out." It's a new creation. That's what God's thinking. Now, this is a Greek word here where is it for new. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, that's Greek. So here's a Greek word. It means of uncertain affirmity, new freshness. See that word, freshness? So when we got born again, this new creation, number one, is fresh. It's not old, it's fresh. I think we are to be new in freshness. Seemed like I put something up here. Freshness indicates that the new creation experience will be full of fresh ideas, experiences, and hopes. So as Christians in here, the way you know you're embracing the new creation is you're not stuck in your old ways. If you were the saddest man in town, trust me, God wants you to be the happiest man in town. The only thing you have to leave behind between the two poles is your pride. You see, pride's what holds us back from being new creation. You have to get embarrassed a lot. Old boy doing the choo-choo train, he was so embarrassed he didn't come back for 2 weeks. It did embarrass him to death. When he come back that next time, he done the choo-choo. It just hit him. Here we go. He started doing laps again. He got around the Spirit of God and he'd train up. Had beaten this thing I ever seen in my life. He just, honestly, it took him 3 or 4 times before he could get in the church house and not train up. So he could sort of settle down a little bit. But I understood what he was saying. He said he just couldn't get it all out. And he was loud. He was loud, wasn't he? He was loud. But he'd come by you with that choo-choo train, the Spirit, it'd just go all the way through you. You cried and you laughed, and the preacher couldn't preach. I mean, he was too loud. He did, but you could feel the presence of God. Satan worshiper delivered, set free in a moment of time. New creation. And he couldn't put it on. It just, he didn't know nothing about a bushel basket yet. It just come out. Just flooded the place. Wow. Freshness indicates that the old you stinks. I am a dairy farmer. I can use that word. Freshness indicates that the old you stinks and has no spiritual energy. This new life means we're to have, you'll have energy. If you don't have spiritual energy, okay, check up. You're living in the old man's side. That's all. Now, I can't say this when I leave this pulpit, but y'all have already declared I'm speaking for the Lord. He says it stinks. It's no good. Is this you without freshness and energy? Do you need this fresh hope? Let's take a look at the word creation. Now, we did new, and we're going to do creation, and I'm about ready to finish up here, I think. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. All right, we did new, which was freshness. The word creation means original formation. That's how we were back pre-Adam and Eve fall. You can be the original form. That's what this new creation is. God's wanting us to walk with Him like we did in the garden, Adam and Eve did before the fall. Now, I didn't write that Bible. God did. You're saying, well, that sounds too big. Well, it's pretty big. My mind says it can't happen, but I'm choosing to believe God more than my mind. I'm fool enough to believe it can happen, but I'm also honest enough to say I'm not walking fully in it yet. But you know what? I want to. Original formation. Can you see it? The born-again experience is to bring you back into your original formation, a place of... Now, I want you to start grabbing that word, excellence. I didn't say perfection. It's just excellence. Now, I believe this with all my heart. When you come to church, or we come to church, or we go to Walmart in the name of Jesus, or whatever we're doing, ever how we live our life, I believe we're to live it unto excellence. I don't think Christians are supposed to be a bunch of laid-back slobs and say, well, touch me if you can, I don't care, anything goes is okay with me. That is not your original formation. Didn't say perfect, I said unto excellence. When we come in here, we need to worship God with all we got. When new people come, we need to love them and help them with all we got. Whatever you volunteer for in this church, you need to give it all you got. If you want to walk in the power of the new creation, we're to walk in it with excellence. I'm challenging you this morning because I believe the Lord told me to challenge you. Some of you aren't walking unto excellence. Come to church, kind of laid back, say, well, I come if I want to, won't if I won't. Saying, Alan, you said I need to be here all the time? Yeah, I am. Amen. Why? Because I believe the Lord wants me to say that. When I get out in that hall after this is over, don't ask me. I'm just saying what I think I'm supposed to say. Now, let God authenticate you so you can be your authentic self. Who was created before the foundation of the world in the mind of God to be a person of excellence. When we are truly an authentic Christian, we'll live our life out loud. Everybody's going to know you're a Christian. Everybody's going to know you love God. Why? Because you love people and you help people. You're serving people. You know, in most churches today, it's a consumer church. People come to consume instead of coming to serve. Church is an opportunity to serve people. That's what church is. Of course, we want to get fed the Word of God and given instruction, but it's to be a place to serve. How do you do this? We are to put off and to put on. Trust me, there is more to live unto than there is to die to. Can you hear me? There's much more to live unto than there is to die to. The worst place you can be and be a Christian is to die to all this stuff and not come to life. That's terrible. That's bad. Some people say, well, Alan, sin's no good. Well, it is for a season. Give all that up and not go into life. We get hung. Some people as Christians are miserable. You say, well, Alan, I can't greet people. It's because you're miserable. That's why. You've got to let this life, it's got to come out. Here's what the next verse says. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted and its deceitful desires, to be made new in the what? Where are you made new? Attitude of your... Means we've got to have an attitude shift. You see, what causes us not to change our attitudes is our pride. We protect our attitude so we can say, well, I was always right, bless God. I never will forget, I drove up on this farm one time, and there's two brothers. They were old men. They were farmers. And they'd farmed their whole life. And I pulled up in the pickup, and they were out in the tool shed, and I walked around there, and I kind of heard them there, but they were arguing. I thought, ooh, I don't want to walk up on that. And one brother, and they were hooking up a plow. I don't know if y'all know about a plow, but you got a top link. It's got two different holes. You can put it in the top or the bottom. Truth is, it doesn't make a lot of difference which one you put it in, but you can put it in the top or the bottom. And I was around the corner. I actually left because they were really going at it. And they said, well, we put it in the bottom hole for 40 years. His brother said, not wanting to be topped, he said, well, just because you've done it wrong for 40 years doesn't mean you don't need to change now. Our attitudes are like that. Well, I've always done it. Well, listen, y'all, I don't want to agree with myself. I am bored with myself. I am not impressed with myself. And I'm sure you're not either. But that's not my goal. I want to move on. I want my attitude to change more. I want to become alive more. I want to welcome people into the kingdom more. I want people to come to this church and say, boy, I want people to say about this church the way I felt about the church I went to last night. That'd be wonderful. Now, I understand we haven't created ways that you can plug in, but just stay with me. Before I conclude this message, I'm going to give one call now. Do you see it? You have to put off the old self, but it takes a new energizing. As I am calling you to take the bushel basket off. To walk fully more in who this new creation is. There's more to experience. I think you'll like it. The new self. It is this new self who can hear fresh thinking for an energized reality in life. Trust me, we have a lot more to experience in this life. But the only way to experience it is to have new thinking, which is the mind of Christ. You must have a clear perception of your new self and not your old one, a healthy self image which you can love. Now, I'm about to finish, but I want you to get this. Walking in your original formation, I want to show you a little something here. In order to walk in the truth of the original formation that God created in you, you must walk in line with the commandments Jesus gave in the book of Matthew. And it's very important. I want you to walk into this new formation. I've talked about it, and you say, okay, Alan, that's great. How do I get there? How can I walk more in this new creation? All right, I'm going to show you right quickly. Hang with me. You must first love God with all of your being. Then you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's your new self. You see, the reason we can't run out here and greet new people is because we're not fully in touch with this loving. We're still walking in our old self more than we are our new self, and trust me, you don't love it. But as we walk more into our new self, our new formation, as we start getting in touch with that thing, how do you walk in your new self? It's when I say I'm going to trust God more than I'm going to trust me. It'll cause me, which, believe it or not, personally, I don't have much confidence. in my person. But on the other hand, I got a lot of confidence. I got enough so I can stand up here and tell you what I think God's saying. But that confidence isn't in me. My confidence is I'm trusting God. Can you hear me? Now let's watch it. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So that, if you hate yourself, how are you going to love others? How many people in here have this in your this internal dialogue? Well, I can't do that. Well, I'm going to do it again. You ever have that internal dialogue? Well, I just don't think I can do it. I've failed so many times. It's a total negative dialogue, internal dialogue. Not only will it be about yourself, it'll be about others. Show me somebody that has negative dialogue about others all the time. It's because they have our own personal negative dialogue. If you're living in personal negative dialogue, how can you love your neighbor as God is asking us to as you do yourself? You see, when you express loving your neighbor as yourself, you can't go any higher than you love yourself. Say, Alan, I got it. So how do we love others? This is the year they're going to come. How are we going to pull it off? The only way we can pull this thing off is I got to get you to love yourself more. Say, well, Alan, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, it does. But you got to love this new creation that you are, where there's life and there's energy. When you see it, you'll love it. Then, only then, can we express to our neighbors that we love them. And when we do that, we fulfilled all the laws. We fulfilled it all. But we can't get it to happen until you love yourself. You can't love your old self. You got to love your new self. So you got to get in your new self and say, this is me, and I love me. Right? Watch it. How can you love God and the world without first loving yourself? How can you love yourself without allowing the real you to explode into the newly energized thinking that God intended you to have? I believe I can do anything. Say it with me. I believe I can do anything. Some of you could be saying, well, Alan, I don't think I can change. Well, you believe you more than you do God. I don't think, when I start thinking about me, I'm like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't change the way I think. Let me show you something here. If I believe God, then I have confidence and I will change. In other words, I had enough confidence to stand up here this morning. I feel like I'm in over my head. But I had enough confidence to do it. It wasn't confidence in me. I'm saying, okay, God, I'm going to get up there running a huge risk of looking like a total idiot. But God, I'm going to trust you that I can do it. And it's in that confidence in God, I can do it. You know, I can do anything. I can sound right prideful if you ain't. I can do anything. Why? Because I'm going to believe God, not my negative thinking of the old man. You say, well, Alan, what's that got to do with it? I'm just telling you, church, we got to get into revival. We got God. They're going to come. I want us to authentically love people. I want us to authentically plug in. Watch this one. When I change, I will live life with spiritual energy, which will become contagious to others. Beaton's saying, that's just the way it works. Like, this is what it says in Romans 8:31. I'm about done. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, what? I ain't got confidence in me. I got it in God. God be for me. Hey, y'all, I can do anything. I can change. I don't have to be this depressed, bored person blaming everybody for the lack of my happiness in life. I can change. Praise God, I can change. I am convinced I can change. I have great confidence I can change. Because if God's for me, who in the heck can be against me? Come on. I'm right cocky in that verse. Anybody want to be cocky with me? For Jesus? Believe in yourself and believe you can do anything. Now you got to catch what I'm saying. Believe in yourself. Now the enemy is constantly trying to get you not to believe in yourself. That's old way of thinking. That's old man thinking. If God's for you, who can be against you? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Nobody. God's greater than anything in the world.
Amen.
Believe in yourself and believe you can do anything. You're going to feel like you're over your head. You're believing in yourself in Christ.
Amen.
1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He that is in you, that He's in the world.
Hallelujah.
Say, I can do anything. Say this, I can change. Just glory, hallelujah. And wife, don't look at your husband and say, I told you. We can all change. There is the power within me. Karen, you want to go ahead? There's the power within me to change. You're not stuck like you think you are. You're not stuck. Watch this. I think I got another one. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. But I can do anything. Listen, I can do all things. I feel like I'm in over my head, but I'm going to get a little cocky in Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. I can walk into more of this new creation. I'm on a journey. But because of what God says, because I'm going to believe God more than I do me, I can do anything. God said it. I'm not saying have confidence in you. I'm just saying when you have confidence and believe God, you'll have confidence. But it's confidence that God doesn't lie. It's confidence that God meant what He said. Like He said it, where He said it about you. Come on, let's get spiritually cocky for Jesus. Amen. 2015, the year that they'll come. Will you accept the challenge to change? To be a person of excellence with spiritual energy? Living life out loud for the glory of God. Come on, church. Can we do it? Can we live out loud? Will you be ready? Will you be ready when they come? I want to make a call right now. I need 4 people. To volunteer. 4 plus people to volunteer to help in the parking lot, to greet people as they come in here. I want you to be full of life and you say, praise God, come on. I need 4 people. I need 4 hands. This is the invitation. I need some parking lot help. Anybody? There's one. I told the pastor I needed 3, but then the Lord said there's 4. It's one more. Come on. There's one more. Okay. I need some people that are willing to volunteer. Dave Dollar's going to be over our greeting team. We're going to be greeting people and welcome them to church. And new people, when we come in, we want to be sure they get welcomed and looked after. Dave's going to head that up for them. I need some people to raise their hands. And listen, you don't have to do it forever. We're going to rotate around. Now, here's one. There's one, there, there. Listen, the greatest greeters are the ones that's been here the shortest. Come on. If you've been here 2 or 3 weeks, you're in. Don't tell everybody you're visiting. Too late. 3 times you're a member. I'm looking for those that just got here because you have a joy and an excitement. After the service, I need the parking lot fellas over here, or ladies, whoever's going to help us. It can be ladies, men, to make any difference. And I need some greedy people over here, people, me and Dave, and we're going to meet with you after the service. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you went to bed tonight, you went to sleep and you died. If you don't know where you'd wake up in the morning, in heaven or hell, today's your day. You can know. This is a knowing salvation. You don't have to hope so. You can know so. So I'm going to ask the whole church right now to pray with. We're all going to pray. But I'm going to ask the whole church to pray with me. And if you've never received Jesus, you pray with us. And it goes like this. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for letting me come here today. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I give all of my sin to you. I believe that you died that I might have life. Come into my heart, dear Jesus, that I might feel this energy and this life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, if that was you in here this morning, I want you to see this man. Right, raise your hand there, Rodney. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I invite you to see this man right over here. He'll talk with you and he'll love you and let you know about the decision you just made. We're going to worship the Lord. One song, and I have this invitation. Let's sing, folks.